Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's get a point of where we are in this study of where our final destination winds up as Christians. You know, we've been through the tribulation period, Satan's been judged, the Antichrist, the false prophet, cast into the lake of fire, Satan's in the bottomless pit, then we had the millennial reign. And the millennial reign has gone for 1,000 years. And then we have Satan loose and rebellion comes out with him. And then God destroys that rebellion. He casts the Satan into the lake of fire with the where the beast and the false prophet are. Antichrist, they've been there for 1,000 years. And he casts them in there. And so now he's going to do the great and final thing that this Bible talks about. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, I'm going to go to verse 7 through 13 and read, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now," talking about Peter in his time there, "by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition," or the destruction of ungodly men. Now, Peter says that the same word of God that kept the earth way back after it was created in the times of Noah and the flood, the same word of God that makes that promise as he did back then, he's making another promise. He said here, he's keeping this earth to a point to where he's going to judge it finally for its ungodly men and what they're doing to his creation. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Peter makes this statement because he wants people who are reading his epistle to don't think God has to be on our timetable. That 1,000 years to God is just like one of our days. So in God's time, this event's going to happen. It's at least 1,007 years off from right now. If the rapture occurred today, what we're talking about now is at least 1,007 years off for us. But according to God, that's just a little bit more than one day. So Peter says, don't get discouraged. Don't get in a rush. That's my problem I have as I study Scripture and I study the future things and how he's going to make things right. I really have to check myself and say, okay, it's God's timetable. Just be calm, okay? When I see something wrong, Bonnie will tell you, one of my problems is I want to fix it right then. I don't want to waste any time. I want it done now. But I'm having to learn patience with God here. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." The reason God's holding off on our timetable, the 1,007, he's still got people that he wants to bring into the fold. And until that last person is, he's going to continue to hold off. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's what God really wants out of mankind. He wants mankind to repent of his rebellion and come to him as he made the sacrifice for man to do. But most of mankind's not going to do it. "But the day of the Lord," anytime you see that phrase, and it's over and over and over in Scripture, it means the day that God's coming to judge. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." He's going to come and do this at the least expected time of mankind. "In the night in which the heavens shall pass away," notice plural, heavens, "shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This is after the millennial reign when that last rebellion occurs. And then this is what's going to happen here. God is going to renovate. Now, there's a lot of discussion about, you see, some of the Hollywood things of the earth crashing into another planet and blowing all to pieces and all that. I don't believe that. What I think is this earth is God's creation. I do not think he's going to allow it to be obliterated like Hollywood shows. I think it's going to be a revamping of this earth like it was with the water. It's His creation, and it's not going to be destroyed. So the earth is going to be revamped by fire. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter said, listen, if you really realize that God is going to make this massive judgment upon the earth, then how should you be living your life every day? You should be living it as it can happen right now. We know this is 1,007 years off, but when that time comes, there's going to be a great judgment. He said, how are you living your life today? Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. That means God in total control of everything, the heavens, the universe. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Kind of like the sun's surface there. You know, God is going to renovate everything on this earth. All of mankind's pollution, all of mankind's evil, it's all going to be wiped away. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, even realizing what God's going to do to this old ball here that we live on, we look for another one that's coming where it's not going to be any evil, not going to be any bad stuff go on or anything to harm anybody anymore. Turn to Isaiah, back to Isaiah 65, verse 17. Isaiah 65. You know, so many people don't think that in the Old Testament that this is even spoken of. In fact, there are churches that teach that there's nothing like this spoken of in the Old Testament. Well, it is, over and over and over. In fact, the largest part of the Old Testament prophecies have not been fulfilled. They're missing out on a lot of good knowledge that God's given us. Look at 65 verse 17. Isaiah writing says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Now think about that. Everybody says that I've talked to says, what about my old memories? What about the things that were done to me bad on this earth during my lifetime? What about this and that and the other? And I said, look, Isaiah says you're not even going to remember it anymore. It's going to be done away with. God's going to take that away from you, or else you wouldn't be happy like you're supposed to be in heaven. So whatever happens to you in this world, and everybody in this room could tell me a story about something that's happened to you that's bad, that makes you, when you think about it, that makes you unhappy or sad, everybody has got those things in your life. They're going to be gone. You won't remember them anymore. All you're going to know is the new heaven and the new earth that's going to be so absolutely perfect that we in our human mind today can't even imagine. Look at Isaiah 66 just across the page. Look at verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now here he's talking about the nation of Israel. Chapter 66 brings into the last chapter of Isaiah, which we studied. He brings the nation of Israel back and he's given them all these promises. And he says, I want you to know, Israel, even though I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth, I want you to know that you will always exist. You will always be. The world today wants to annihilate the nation of Israel. I told you all that before. Everything in the United Nations, except for the United States and a few other countries, votes against Israel constantly, over and over and over. They want to do away with them. History, the nations of the world have tried their best to destroy the nation of Israel and kill every living Jew. I get asked this question all the time. Why does the world hate Israel so much? Because if Satan can destroy the Jewish nation, every living Jew on the face of this earth, then he can call God a liar. Because right here, Isaiah, Jeremiah, many other prophets say, Israel, you will always be. You will always exist. So if Satan could accomplish that feat where he could wipe out the Jewish people, then he could go to God and shake his fist in God's face and say, you lied. And that's not going to ever happen, regardless of what mankind does. And the worst is yet to come for that nation. It's still going to always survive. So mark that down. One reason I want to emphasize that is today, because in the news, you see Iran, some of the other nations are making a declaration. Hamas, Hezbollah, on and on and on, are saying they are going to kill every Jew on the face of the earth. Well, they're not. God says they're not. They're going to be destroyed. But this is not going to happen. So mark it down. Whatever you see in the news, those people are ignorant of God's word, and that is not going to happen. So just remember that when you see what's going on in the world, that is not going to happen. Okay, turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. The last two chapters of the book of Revelation are a description of God's end time workings with mankind. Somebody asked Billy Graham one time, said, Billy, said, aren't you discouraged about what's happening in the world today and what's going on? And he said, no, I'm not. And they said, well, why aren't you? He said, the reason is I've read the last chapter and we win. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to read the entire last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. Because this gives God's finalization of what he's going to do with mankind. Chapter 21, I'm going to read verse 1 through 11. This is John now, Isle of Patmos. God is making his revelation to him, and he's showing him now what he's going to do with mankind for the future. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In other words, the giant sea that we have today will be gone on the new heaven and the new earth regime. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the city that God is in the process of building today, may have it already done. But anyway, it's going to come down on the new earth, which is going to be a paradise. It's going to be just like the Garden of Eden, even better. And he's going to bring this city down out of heaven, down to the earth, and it's adorned like a bride. All of you know what brides look like. They look fantastic. You go to a wedding, and everybody's seated down. The groom, he comes in. They don't pay a lot of attention to him. But the bride, they do. When the bride comes in, everybody stands up and take pictures and all that, because she's the beauty part of the ceremony. Well, the same thing here on the new heaven and new earth. He says here the new heaven and the holy city, New Jerusalem, is coming down like a bride walking down an aisle. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. That's where God reigns, is in the New Jerusalem. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. We don't see God today. He's up in the third heaven right now. We're not dwelling with him. If you die, you will be with him. But for all of mankind and the finalization of God's plan, this is where it is. He comes down to his new creation, the new earth, which is perfect, and he resides with men from that point on. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, just like Isaiah said. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All of these things that happen to us today on the earth, because of sin. You don't know why we have pain, why we have death, why we have sickness? It's all because of sin. Mankind has rebelled. Adam and Eve didn't have any of that before they rebelled. But man has rebelled, and now guess what? We all have this. We get old. We die. We get sick. We hurt. Some people in here are taking chemo treatments. And it goes on and on and on in our lives this day. You know, they keep, scientists keep coming up, and you'll see every now and then a little article says, wow, we have just perfected a way for a man to live to be 150 years old. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing, even if they perfect it, I don't want it. Because I know what I feel like at 77. And I don't want another 80 more years of that. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Don't pass over that statement. He says, all things new. And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." John, I want you to tell the people that what I'm telling you is true. They can depend on it. And he said unto me, "It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet." In other words, God says, I'm the beginning and I'm the end of everything. "I will give unto him that athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." There's going to be a river flowing up there in the New Jerusalem. We don't know all the details about it, but it's going to be there. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I want you to notice as a Christian what a great thing is that God's going to call you his child. That's fantastic. "But the fearful," and he makes a note here of the difference. "The fearful, unbelieving, abominable," that word means horrible, "and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers," people that seek after witchcraft. By the way, witchcraft is increasing today in astronomical proportions. In fact, one of the largest growing churches in the United States is the Church of Satan. "Idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." God says all of these evil people will have their place in the lake of fire. You know, so many people say, there's a saying going around today that there is no real hell, that that's a figment of the imagination. It came out in the Middle Ages. The Catholic Church brought it out to scare people. Let me tell you something. The Catholic Church, long before it ever said anything about hell, God already has, right here in these scriptures. And it is a real live place, and it is meant to scare you. In fact, that's going to be our next study. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials," or the bowls. These were the bowls judgments in the tribulation period, "full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Come on with me, John, I'm going to show you something. "He carried me away in the spirit into a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Now, the angel is getting ready to show John this city. He's going to get to see it with his eyes in the spirit. And so verse 12 through 21 describes the city itself that we will be living in. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. But before I do, I want you to notice something in these verses of scriptures in 12 through 21. The number 12. This is important. It's really important. In verse 12, you have number 12 used twice. Verse 14, you have it used two more times. Verse 16 is one time. Verse 17 is 12 times 12, which is 144. Verse 21 is two more times. Why is that so important? The number 12 in Scripture means governmental perfection. So what he is saying here in describing this city, that everything is built around the number 12. The number 12 means that this city is going to be perfect in governing the whole new world that God is going to create. There's no government today that's perfect. Every government has its failures, its faults, because mankind is the ruler of it. But in this scenario here, in the New Jerusalem, all the governing body that comes over the earth comes out of New Jerusalem, and everything is based on 12 in that city. So therefore, the entire rulership of the earth and the universe is perfection. Any questions on that? Bennett. Yeah.
Is this the only place on the three heavens where there'll be no sadness?
There, during the millennial reign, let me say this. Here's the question. Is this the only place where there'll never be any sadness? Let me say this. During the millennial reign, there will be, evidently from Scripture, there will be some rebellion. It will be very minor in nature. There will be some things on this earth that there will be some people who will still step out of line, but it will not be allowed to manifest or become large. It will be put down, as we saw in 2 Psalm, by Christ with a rod of iron. And I'm going to say this again. You who are in a ruling position in the millennial reign will be responsible for seeing that God's orders are carried out and that any rebellion that is attempted during the millennial reign will be put down by you.
And the first heaven you study, the one that exists right now today.
What about it?
Will there be any sadness there?
And
the Bible says there will be sadness in the heaven where our loved ones are now.
Well, there is sadness, and we're in it right now. The first heaven.
I'm talking about the heaven where our loved ones have died and gone.
That's the third heaven. Yeah, there's no sadness up there now. You're in, they're in God's presence up there now.
But this is the only place in the Bible where it says there'll be no more sadness.
No. I just got through showing you in Isaiah 65:17 said he'll wipe away all tears and no sadness.
Okay, so that's talking about...
That's talking about this... Yeah, no, it's talking about the New Jerusalem. The third heaven. You're confusing the third heaven with the New Jerusalem and the New Earth. They're two separate things. In the third heaven, if you go to today, will there be any sadness there? No. Now, again, you say, well, what about the witnesses that, the people that were killed and under the altar, and they're telling God, hey, God, when are you going to judge the earth because of what's been done down there? I mean, they remember that, okay? And he says, you're going to have to wait a little while till the rest of them are coming up here. You'll be remembrance of some of those things, but it's not going to be a place of sadness, okay? Let me say that. It wouldn't be heaven. There will be some things. We don't know all the details. We're just not given every detail, okay? Well, let me say this. If you die and go to heaven today, you're going to be happy. Let me put it like that, okay? That's all I can tell you. That's all Scripture tells us. Yes. That's right. Like Don said, you know, when we get to see Jesus and we get to view Him and the surrounding aurora of Him, it's going to be totally different. Our whole mindset is going to be different. Our whole outlook on everything is going to be different. We really can't imagine it in this life here. It's beyond us to really be able to comprehend it. Any other questions? That's okay. Okay, now here's the description of the New Jerusalem. I'm going to have time to do that, and then I'm going to have to stop. It had a wall, great and high, had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice this city is built basically around the 12 apostles, which represents the church, and the 12 tribes of Israel, which represents God's earthly chosen people. On the east three gates, the north three gates, the south three gates, and the west three gates. What's interesting here is there's still compass directions. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Again, everything in 12. 12 foundations. This is the wall around the city. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles and of the Lamb. Now, you've got here the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles. This make up the base building block of the New Jerusalem. That represents, again, the church and Israel. And he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. There's an angel, and he's going to show John the measurements. The city lieth four square. It's going to lie perfectly in a square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. I'll get into all these details in a minute. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. It's a cube. Okay? Every side is the same distance, which is 12,000 furlongs. By the way, that's 1,500 miles. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. That's a different measure. That's cubits. That's 216 feet. So the wall around the city is 216 feet, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. The building of the wall was of jasper. The city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. We don't know what that gold is really like. Can't imagine gold being so pure that you can see through it, but this gold you can. It's transparent. We don't know how that's going to happen, but anyway, it is. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. So the foundation, the wall, is just littered with precious stones. Now, a number of artists have tried through the years to paint a picture of the New Jerusalem. If you get on the internet, you can find dozens and dozens of pictures that artists have painted of what they conceive this description is like. Some of them are quite good. I recommend, if you want to get a visualization of that, get on there and go through some of them, because some of them are quite good. My envision of it is that it's going to be like a prism glowing with light with all of the different gems and something else to do. Get on the internet and look up these gemstones if you want to see what they look like, and then imagine what they would be like in a wall built in a city. It's a good visualization exercise. I recommend you do it. Of precious stones, the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third was a chalani, the fourth, and I may not pronounce some of these words correct, okay? The fourth is an emerald. The fifth is sardonyx. The sixth is sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, a chrysoptis. I know I didn't pronounce that right. Anyway, you English majors, correct me. The 11th, a jacinth. And the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, somebody mentioned, they said, you talk about the street sweepers of heaven. Why will they need a street sweeper in heaven if the pavement is pure gold? And I said, well, they may get a little dust on it, and it might need dusting off a little bit. But gold is gold, and if you got any gold, you might have to dust it off every now and then. But this is what the city is described like. I'm going to have to stop now for time's sake there. But get on the internet, take a look at some of these drawings that people have done. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to give you a breakdown of the size and more details of this New Jerusalem. I don't have time today to do that. But I'm going to give you a breakdown of the size of this, how big your house can be in there. All of you have got your houses. You know how many square feet you got to live in. I'm going to give you a breakdown of this New Jerusalem. And I'm going to do a little illustration with this that I made. about the New Jerusalem next Sunday. That's what that will consist of. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful knowledge of the future, that our final destiny will be had when this occurs. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, Lord. What a great time it will be for you with us throughout all eternity. Again, we pray for those in need. We pray for our people, Lord, in this country undergoing such trials through this hurricane. We pray for the first responders. We pray for those that will try to go help them to get through this, that have lost so much, Lord, and need such great encouragement. We pray for each and every one of those personnel who will be doing that. Look forward to you coming each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great week and call me if you need me.